It's good to see everyone out tonight. When Dan had first asked me to speak, he's told me to speak on something that God's been doing in my life, or something I've been learning recently. And so over the past few months, I've been thinking about quite a few things that I wanted to speak on tonight. And then when I began to think about my audience, I feel as though a lot of people here know who I am, but maybe not a lot about me. So I thought tonight I would share my testimony and just how God's been working in my life. And so I'll begin with opening up in Matthew chapter 7. And maybe before I read, I'll just open up in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just come before you now, Lord, as I prepare to speak my testimony. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit will speak through me, Lord, and you'll just give me the words to say, Lord, because you created my mouth, Lord. And I just pray that if anyone here is in need of salvation, Lord, that my testimony will just show them how great you are, Lord, and just who you are, and how amazing you are. And I just give all thanks to you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So I was born in St. John, New Brunswick. Most of you in a Christian family, most of you may know my parents, if not my brother Jared. He lived here for a little bit. And so I grew up at the Gospel Hall in St. John, and so I was under the sound of the gospel quite a bit, consistently every Sunday. And so in my life, I found when I saw differences in my family versus my friend's family, I made some friends in elementary school around grade 1 or 2, and I go over to their house. And I noticed the differences that my family did, like pray before a meal, or maybe language that would be said. Maybe a parent would take the Lord's name in vain, or maybe movies that my friends were allowed to watch that I wasn't allowed to watch. And so I kind of began to realize these differences, and that my family had something that other families didn't. One big event happened to me when I was little. I had come home from elementary school in grade 2, and usually when I came home, my mom would be at the door to greet me, and she wasn't there this time, and no one was home, and my brothers weren't home. And so I'd been under the sound of the gospel, so I knew the rapture. I knew the Lord was coming back to take his people with him, and I didn't remember hearing any trumpets, but I certainly thought that he had come back, and that really scared me at the time. And so just kind of, I knew the Lord was speaking to me, and I knew that he was showing me my need of salvation. And actually, a couple days later, I distinctly remember I had a dream that I was at the grocery store, and my mom had gone in, and I had waited in the car, and someone had come to try to steal our car, and they had a gun, and then they shot me, and then I woke up. And so that was pretty dramatizing. And I went and woke my mom up and told her about it, and we talked about it for a while, and that was pretty scary, just to think if I died, what would happen. And sometimes it takes an event like that to kind of realize or kind of show you something serious as that, as what happens or what would happen if I were to die right now. And so at the hall, we had a gospel series with Matthew Cain and Eric Fowler. And behind them, they had a poster. It's called Two Roads, Two Destinies. I don't know if many of you have heard of that, but basically there's a big path that comes in and leads to hell. And then there's a door to a smaller path that leads up to heaven. And on the door is John 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. And then on that path was John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so they had that poster. And as a kid, I was a pretty visual learner. So that poster helped me a lot just to visualize, okay, I'm here, and if I continue as I am, and if I were to die now, I would go to hell. But if I wanted to go to heaven, I need to enter through that door that I could clearly see. And so that night when I got home, I went and found my mom in the kitchen, and I asked her where my dad was. And of course, he was in the garage. And so I went and asked him if he could come talk to me, because I had a couple questions. And so he came to my room, and I just asked him, I said, how do I get saved? How do I get this salvation, this relationship with God that you guys have? And so he told me about the gospel, of course, how Christ, or God sent his son, Jesus, to the earth to die for our sins, and how if you receive him into your heart and repent of your sins, that I'd be saved. And so I remember so clearly praying in my bed. He asked if he wanted to pray with me, and I said, no, I'll pray on my own. And I just remember that moment so clearly, laying my head in my pillow and just praying and asking God to save me, and just accepting him into my life. And I remember waking up or opening my eyes, and he just lifted that weight off my shoulder that I knew where I'd be going. And I remember so clearly, I had a terrible memory when I was a child, so it's kind of cool to remember this stuff so distinctly, because it was such a important moment in my life. I remember so clearly looking at my little digital alarm clock and said 9:15. So I know April 24th, 2006, so it was a Monday night at 9:15, I accepted Christ into my heart. And it was just so amazing, and so cool to just have that moment in your life where you accepted Christ and into your life to have a relationship with him. And so I wish I could stand in front of everyone tonight and say that it's been smooth sailing from there, and that I've been on fire for the Lord since then. Unfortunately, that's not quite the case. In up through elementary school, middle school, going to church and Sunday school and quoting my verses and learning all the stories of Noah's Ark and just in a lot of the gospel, I just always grew closer to him, and that was a really good time in my life. And also that time in your life where you think life's really hard and it doesn't get any easier, or doesn't get any harder, just gets easier from there. That was not the case. And I found in grade 11 that I saw a bit of a change in my life. where I kind of just started to be a little less interested in going to church with my family, and just thought I was going for my parents and not for me personally, or not for the Lord, sorry. I just found that my relationship with my parents, it was good, but maybe a little more communication would have been better, just to kind of tell them how I was feeling. And kind of in that phase of my life, I was had a pretty big role in sports in high school. Had a pretty big role on the teams, and so a lot of the times that would consume a lot of my mind and my thoughts. Maybe on a Sunday morning, I would just be thinking about my next tournament or my next game. So I found that kind of really hindered my relationship with God. Through sports, I found friends in high school. Well, I guess in elementary school, when I made a lot of really good friends that I kind of grew up with through the years, played sports with them and everything, and that wasn't really an issue back in elementary school or middle school. But then high school came, and they're like, "Hey, let's go do this," and you're like, "No, like I can't." And it just kind of wore down on me quite a bit, just surrounding myself with non-Christians, and which was really unfortunate in my life, because when I grew up, I had some pretty good Christian friends in the assembly in St. John. It was a pretty small assembly, so there were only one or two, and one of them moved away. But when I grew up, we kind of didn't really get along too well. And so I thought, well, I get along so well with these friends from high school. I'll just hang out with them and not my Christian friends. But I just want to say to anyone who might think that friends at school are better, or they can be great, but I just want to encourage everyone, and mostly people around my age, just watch who you spend your time with, because it says. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals." And so I found a lot of the time I had been kind of surrounding myself with the wrong people. And I found some of my morals started to change a little bit. Like some things that I thought were wrong kind of changed to right, or yeah, like that's not so bad. And I go, you know, go to camp, and it'd be really encouraging, and I would be reading after that, and just being close to the Lord. And then you just find that consistency would kind of die away. Again, just it's a big assembly here, and it's great, and so many Christians around, and so many nice people. If you ever, I just want to say, if you ever find yourself maybe going with the wrong crowd, you can, I'm sure anyone here would want to wouldn't mind a phone call and just to spend time with you. I just want to put that out there, because it was kind of a tough spot that I had, I guess, put myself in. And so after high school, I went to UMB St. John for engineering. And I found in university, it got quite a bit better because everyone kind of went in their different directions. And so I would have moments where I was really encouraged and be consistent in studying the Word and growing my relationship with God, and it was awesome. And then I'd have months where it wouldn't be so much. And I found doing things that you feel are against your morals and you think would bring you joy and happiness, it's just so empty. And I'm glad that I only dipped my foot in and never dove in the lake, so to speak, because it's really empty. And then my second year of university, God kind of spoke to me, and through I would study quite a bit, and I was really encouraged, and I could just tell, like, just in my personal interactions with my family and my friends, it was just so encouraging, and it just brought so much happiness in my life and so much joy. And it was just so amazing, just how God spoke to me, and I just began to just embrace fully who He is, and what He done for me. Jared had spoke a month ago, I guess, about motivation, and he spoke about the gospel and how it comes back to the gospel, and just coming back to how just Christ died for me. It was just such an amazing time in my life. And then, so after 2 years in St. John, I had a decision to make. Most people would go to Fredericton, but I decided that I wanted to come here and just be able to surround myself with so many Christian people and awesome people and great guys. And it says in Matthew 5, verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. So I just kind of got away from being in that constant presence of people who weren't believers, because it really wears down on you. And so I had prayed a lot about that decision, and talked to my parents and talked to Ty a lot about it. And Ty had sent me a verse, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in that moment, I knew that I wanted to fully serve the Lord in my life. And so I decided to come to the island. And it's been such a blessing. It's been so awesome. God showed me more things in the past 5 months, I guess, than I could have ever imagined. I wrote some things down that I thought of, and some of them are pretty simple. Some of them I've been hearing since I've been one. But He showed me the truth to the significance of who you surround yourself by, like I've been saying. Being consistent, quiet time of prayer, and just how that reflects in your life. Putting your full faith and trust in Him in all things in life, including the little things. That's been big in school with just tests, and since I moved here, I've been meeting a lot of new people in school and just being able to share the gospel with them. And a big thing I found is changing the music I listen to. I try to put on Christian music when I get in the car, and I find just when I'm in school, that's what's playing through your head. And also one big thing I've been learning is just have the right motives, because we talk about a lot about in 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Do all to the glory of God." So I've been thinking a lot about that. Why I come to meeting on Sunday morning, and one thing I've been thinking a lot about is like when I sing, am I praising him, or am I doing it to sound good to those around me? Just because he knows our hearts, and I guess I'm over a little bit. So three main takeaways from my testimony, why I wanted to share it. Definitely a big importance on who you surround yourself by. Just being around Christians, being here on the island has been such an amazing influence on my life. And taking a look at things you do and consider what your motivations are, doing all to the glory of God. And also, if you haven't experienced that moment in your life where you know when you began a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't know if you are a son of God, that I just hope that you would feel convicted to want that moment, want that relationship with God, because he's knocking at your heart's door and he wants that relationship with you. And I just hope that if anyone here tonight hasn't accepted him, that you'll ask someone if you don't know, or you'll accept him into your life, because he's done amazing things in my life. And Jabe had said in the video, he said, I'll find it here. He said, mistakes, mishaps, and failures and weaknesses of your life were simply the means by which God refashioned you to be exactly the person that he wants you to be in the world to come. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I come before you tonight, Lord, and I just thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you that through the struggles, through the temptations, and through the pressures of this world, Lord, that you're just always there, and that you are always seeking us, and all we have to do is just turn, Lord. I thank you for this group here. How amazing it is to just be able to be surrounded by so many Christians and just have such an amazing support group. I just thank you for bringing me here to this assembly, and I thank you so much for everyone here, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't have a relationship with you, doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they'll come to you tonight, Lord, and just accept you into their life, Lord, in your one person's name. Amen.